Thank you very much, Mr. Fike, and good morning to everyone here and those on the cybercast. Hope that your day is going well. It's a little bit rainy here, but hey, Family Day yesterday wasn't rainy, so we have a lot to be thankful for. So that amazing how that works. It's kind of like the clouds were rolling in as the day was finishing out. So we've been here listening to what the millennium will be like. We've been listening to what life will be like with Christ in charge. And it's our job as speakers to make this as real as possible. Each of the speakers has given you something to think about, and this is what we're supposed to be doing. But it's for sure that the millennium will not be like anything that we're living in right now. Will it? We know that because our world is led by Satan, and it's not a very wonderful place to be, although there are wonderful aspects of it. So as we talk about and think about the millennium, sometimes it's nice to just kind of be able to touch and taste and figure out what the millennium will actually be like. We can do that with our five senses to some degree. But we're very accustomed to this world we live in. We like a lot of what goes on here. We're very used to it. But you know that there's a better world coming. And so at some point, it's like, how do you know what's going to be different? How do you know what's going to not be like what we're used to? Will there be cell phones? Will there be cars? Will there be computers? Will there be houses like we live in? Well, many of these items are not specifically addressed in the Bible. God gives us bigger, broader expectations. He gives us things to think about. But much of what we deal with is rooted in Satan's society, and it won't be there. Mr. Dick did a wonderful introduction the other day. A couple of people, now I think I'm the second person now that's tapped his original message. And he gave three ways that we think about the Bible. There's the explicit. We can read the scripture, and there it is, plain black and white. It's obviously discussed in the Bible. Then there's the implicit. It's clearly, in principle, it's there. It's implied, but it doesn't exactly say. But then there's the speculation, which you're kind of way out on the limb, and you're just forming theories and conjecture, and you're maybe hoping it's going to be that way. So today there's some things I don't want to argue about. We're not going to argue about whether there'll be smartphones and computers, because I can't dogmatically prove it. I may have implicit feelings about some of these things, and I may be able to say, well, I can go to the Bible and I can think about this or that or the other thing, but I can't exactly prove it. But hear me out. You can figure out many of these things on your own, even if you don't want to think about it and come to the conclusion that you suspect God's going to come to. But it's like right now we kind of like our smartphones, right? We're not really ready to give those up. There are some categories that we can fairly readily agree will be there. I think there will be plenty of farming equipment at the local hardware store for sale. Then we could argue about whether there are going to be stores. I don't think that's worth it either. But there's a third category that we're going to discuss today, and that is there is no way these things are going to be there. And I think I can fairly well nail these down today. So today I'm going to spend my time telling you what will not be in the millennium. How do I know this? Because there are many things in our society that aren't compliant with God's laws and God's nature. There's no reason to have them because God is light and there is no darkness in God and His ways. Satan is dark. Satan has sin, and we're not going to have sin. We're not going to be under the influence of Satan. So again, there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5 in God. Many of you have seen chainsaw art or chainsaw artist. I don't know if I've ever stood and watched one, but I've seen the artistry and the sculptures that these people put out, and they take a chainsaw and they'll have a tree that's however big around. And if they want to create a bear, if they want that tree to look like a bear or an eagle, what do? They just cut away everything that doesn't look like a bear or an eagle. And when they're done, they have an amazing sculpture there that looks like what they've started out to create. Or maybe if they made too many wrong cuts, they can turn it into something else. But now, I didn't see any chainsaw artists at the family day. Maybe that's something we could do next year if anybody's good at that. But I'd like you to think about this for a minute. What can we peel away from today's society that would help give us a glimpse of the millennium? Mr. Dick also correctly said that the millennium is not a remake or a remodel of this world. It's going to be a complete different change of just about everything is going to be different. How can you quite imagine all that God has in his mind to do for us? Today I'm going to try to portray the world to you in a different way. So it's like I'm thinking, how can I do this so that a young person could understand and remember it, and how can an older person remember it? And like the chainsaw artist, I want to remove some dead wood today. If you want to turn to Isaiah 11 verse 9 today, Isaiah 11 verse 9, I guess you could say this is my text for the day. I appreciate that the other speakers have carefully stayed away from this, and they didn't, if they read it, they didn't stay there very long. Isaiah 11 verse 9 says, and I'm not going to read before or after it, verse 11, Isaiah 11 verse 9 says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Another New Living changes that a little bit. It says, "So the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord." So everybody will be godly and everything will be godly. The people will be living God's way of life. The creatures will have their nature changed so that they're not out eating things and people. And all that goes on will be in a godly system. It will just be so different than what we're used to now. But what does this mean? It's not going to be like 50% better or a new paint job or the latest greatest. It's going to be completely different. But what does that mean? Now you could, on one hand, it says, "You shall not hurt nor destroy." On the other hand, you can think about that God said in Genesis 2:15 that when he put man on this earth, that he was to dress and keep it. So dressing and keeping the earth is kind of a different way of saying you shall not hurt nor destroy the earth. In a godly world, the earth will be dressed and kept. It will not be hurt and it will not be destroyed. My authoritative source today is the Holy Bible. I'm going to use the New King James Version unless I use the New Living Translation. But I have a second authoritative, maybe I shouldn't say authoritative. I have a second source today that you might be familiar with. Today I've brought my local Yellow Pages. Today I'm going to help you understand what the millennium will be like by taking a look at our local Yellow Pages. What's wrong with that? You know, the phone book is a place that people used to go to. I have a question. How many of you have never used the phone book to look up a phone number? Yeah, come on, admit it. Yep. All right, how many of you haven't used the phone book for a couple years or 3 years to look up a phone number? Yeah, there are a lot of hands. You bunch of Googlers. So, the theory is, if you take out everything out of this phone book that doesn't belong in the millennium, you might get a picture of what the millennium will be like. Not a complete picture, but it will help you as you go through your daily life. You'll look at the phone book in a whole new way. So, what won't be in the millennium. Remember, our overriding principle today is nothing shall hurt nor destroy. So that kind of simplifies it. If I find something in the phone book that hurts or destroys, you can be assured that it won't be there in the millennium. So this is a nice book. As I open the book, what's the first thing that hits me? 911. That's a problem. What do we need 911 for? What's wrong with 463? That spells G-O-D. 911 has to do with emergency services. Emergency services, dialing 911, gets a first responder to you as soon as possible. In theory, they're there to help you, the victim, you the victim or whoever's calling, to help you regain health and safety. And occasionally you have to get a cat out of a tree and you need a fire department for that. But you don't call first responders to help you pick tomatoes in the garden, do you? No, you call first responders because there is trouble and we need help now. So if nothing gets hurt or destroyed, why would you be calling 911? Turn to Psalms 91. You know, this concept of nothing getting hurt or destroyed is kind of personal. When the siren goes by and the dogs start howling because their ears hurt so badly, it's a small thing, but why should we hurt dogs' ears? Psalms 91 and verse 1. I'm actually going to read this out of the New Living. I went back and forth between this and the New King James, and New Living just put some words in there that were a little more clear. So we're going to read it out of New Living. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So think of a protective, you know, you could think of a roof or a carport or a picnic shelter where if you're under the shelter of this covering, you're not getting rained on, you're not getting hailed on or whatever it might happen to be. So if you're under the shadow of the Almighty, things are going to be better for you. Verse 2, this I declare about the Lord, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust Him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Remember, 911. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings, just like the mother hen does with her chicks. It's a very poignant picture of that. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors at night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Many people in the millennium are still going to have images and visions of what they've just come through, of what they grew up with, and these visions are not all going to be good. They're still going to probably wake up at night and realize that they're having a nightmare. You know, we have the people that come back from Vietnam or Iraq or Iran, and they have to fight mental battles all the time. Verse 6, do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. And they will be able to remember. People in the millennium will remember these things. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. 911. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. How does that work? Verse 14, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. when I read this, I think, is God going to put everybody in like a rubber ball and you're not even going to be allowed to hurt your foot or no danger, no harm, no way? Well, that's what it says. And even though I don't understand it, I don't have to try to argue around it or against it. God will take care of our safety. And we can pray, and of course, we have our part. They, in the millennium, are going to have to pray to God. And they're going to have to ask for that protection. And He will give it to them. And I'm sure there will be people who will try to test the system. And if they find out that every time they go to jump off a building or try to fall out of a tree, that somebody catches them in a pillow, that chances are God probably won't put up with that either. So, will there be something like a 911 system? I don't know. Let's get there and find out. But 463 works a lot better than 911. By the way, when I turned to open this page to 911, one of the other things that jumped off the page is the fishing game poaching number, the marijuana hotline, and the report a drunk driver number. I don't think we need that anymore. No more 911. Let's turn to Micah 4:4. Micah 4, verse 4. So 911 carries over into a few other areas. Just try to stay with me here and we'll see where it goes. Micah 4:4, but everyone shall sit under his vine and his fig tree. No one will make them afraid. No one will make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord is a fairly authoritative source, and it's a source that you should be able to trust. So if no one is making them afraid, and God is our defender, and you might have heard about some shoulder tappers, when you hear the word behind you, it says, this is the way, walk you in it. And many of you folks are out there as people are heading off to do something wrong, and you say, wait a minute, and you tap them on the shoulder, and you say, no, you're supposed to go this other way. It's going to give a whole new meaning to Big Brother is watching, because they're going to have a lot of family watching them. So if there is no problem with safety and security, then there are things that we aren't going to need. How about lock services? Do you think you'll need lock services? Nope. How about alarm systems? Alarm systems. Video surveillance? Nope. How about security guards? Nope. Police services? Nope. Banks? What do you need a bank for if you can trust everybody and God is watching and everybody in this room is watching you? I don't think you're going to need bank services. You're not really going to have to worry about someone stealing your stuff. So our phone book is getting thinner. You know, a big part of our society is messed up in a lot of ways. One of the mess ups is that our children, in many cases, are bored and they're out on the street. They get into drugs and alcohol type of factors. But young people will be motivated to get busy and help and be having chores that are meaningful. They won't be staying after school in detention. They're going to be assisting and working, and their idle hands will be busy. Their hands will be idle when they're sleeping. So many of the security issues that we have today will be removed, and those services will not be needed, so there's no reason to have a place in the phone book. Now, another function of 911 is health. Health is huge, because when you're having a heart attack or something, you kind of want 911 to respond quickly. So then you end up going to the hospital. So what are hospitals for? Hospitals are to take care of sick people, people that have disease, people that have hurt themselves, people that have had drug overdoses, people that have problems that they, again, cannot handle on their own. Jeremiah 33, verse 6, let's turn over there. Jeremiah 33, verse 6 says, "Behold, I bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth." So God is, there's going to be a lot of healing going on. You know, we heard about the waters flowing out from Jerusalem. Those waters are healing. It also says in Malachi 4:2 that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. So I just don't see a place to have these hospitals with the millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment and scanners and x-ray machines and nuclear medicine and all the things that have to be used in a hospital to keep people healthy or to save them from death. It doesn't seem like those are going to be needed in the world tomorrow and in the millennium. So if people live in a society where the food is healthy, the sunshine is good for you, the water is good for you, your immune systems are working because there's nothing that's hurting or destroying, so then we must have good things working for us. So you think, well, you know, really, no doctors, no hospitals, nothing? I don't know. And I've thought, well, Luke was a physician, and I don't remember Christ castigating him for his profession. Is there a place for physicians in society? I think there are. Physicians, doctors, people who understand how the body works. God made our body, and somebody needs to teach people how to grow good food and how to have the proper nutrients. And yes, the food will be much better off than it is in this kind of society now, but it's going to be so much different. And I'll show you here in a second that there are many things that are in our health system that we really don't need. I don't even want to say this word, abortion alternatives. Adoption services. Air cleaning and purifying. Nope, don't need that. How about alcoholism information and treatment? How about Alzheimer's and dementia care? Nope. There's some pages still in here. How about asbestos consulting and testing and asbestos removal? How about page removal? How about chiropractors? I don't know. I thought about chiropractors. Do we need someone that, if your bed is good, I'll just tear half this one out. I was going to do like a day for a year, you know. It's like if there's something on the page that isn't quite right, then I'll just tear the whole page out. Here's one you probably hadn't thought about. Cocktail lounges. What's healthy about a cocktail lounge in God's system? I don't think it'll be there. How about drugstores? Pharmaceuticals? I don't think so. How about nursing home and life care? My wastebasket's getting full. So there are many things that we kind of think are normal, right? We think we have to have all these things. They take a place in the phone book. People are paid to do these things. There are people who make a living. This is their way of life. They're used to these things. We're all used to these things. We could also throw out things like cigars, tobacco, diabetes, hearing aids, lead abatement, nuclear medicine, physicians, prosthetics. I got into a little bit of an argument on that one. Rehabilitation services, psychologists. Brethren, there are many things that we take for granted that won't be there. Here's an offshoot of it all. How much do you pay for insurance? What is your insurance for? For health, for life. Then you have your car insurance in case you have an accident. And you have comprehensive and liability and underinsured and uninsured. And in business, we have workers' comp and liability and umbrella policies for the loopholes that all the other things got overlooked. In the millennium, if no one is hurt or destroyed, why do you need State Farm or Geico or Travelers or AARP? Because you're already in good hands. I thought of that myself. So behind these insurance companies, you have a huge team of legal experts. And one of the first things that happens if you have a claim is the legal team goes to work on your policy to see if there's anything in that policy that keeps them from having to pay. It's huge because they're trying to minimize their exposure, and you're trying to get as much as you can. So I don't really think you need insurance plans anymore, and that takes out about that much. So speaking of insurance and legal teams, if no one is cheating and stealing and trying to shade the truth, why do you need teams of lawyers? Why do you have to have somebody who's very carefully crafting what is said or done so that no one is going to have too much financial exposure, or that some contract couldn't be upset, undone, some problem in a contract? I don't think you need legal teams to explain the Word of God. That's what you all will do. God's Word is clear, and people don't have to go to a lawyer to understand God's Word. They need to go to a priest. So there's no ambiguity. God is the judge, and those that he's taught will be able to clearly define and understand God's Word. There will be no appeals. God is fair. You won't have to argue over who's going to get mom and dad's estate when they die. You won't have to have mediation services to decide how to divvy up the goods. There won't be any Swiss bank accounts to hide the money in. Nobody trying to write the laws of the U.S. government so that somebody can't tap into somebody else's money and it gets so confusing. There won't be any confusion. There will be nothing hurting or destroying in all God's holy mountain. God said his word is truth. Satan lies. He's the father of it. God is light. Satan is darkness. So under the pages of attorneys, oh boy, you know, there are attorneys for bankruptcy, family law, divorce law, marital law, criminal law, personal injury, immigration law, drunk drive defense, dangerous products, malpractice, job injury, civil rights, general litigation, custody battles, domestic partnerships, wrongful death, contractor law, investigators. Brethren, don't need that anymore. So, talking about lawyers and money leads me to, if people are following financial laws, they won't be going into financial straits, will they? If people are tithing and not going out and borrowing big lump sums of money and getting themselves in trouble, and if they spend within their income level, then you won't need pawn shops, payday loans, title loans, bankruptcy services, repossession services, tow truck assistance. And if every 50 years the system gets reset and the money goes back or the property goes back to the family again, then you're not going to be able to push your financial problems and your misspending off onto your grandkids or great-grandkids or all the way down the line. So now we end up with, we won't need bankruptcy, cash loans, debt adjustment, pawn services, repossession, tax preparation. You made so much money, tithe on it, and you're done. Sounds simple to me. So yesterday was family day. There's some family-related items in this Yellow Pages. How about, there's a section that probably will change, adult entertainment. Adult entertainment will be mom and dad and the family sitting out on the porch after the kids have gone to bed, making beautiful music with a banjo and a shofar. Yeah, a shofar. Do we really need apartments? If every man is sitting under his fig tree, do you see us in the millennium being stuffed into boxes, stacked like umpteen high? I don't think so. Assisted living, that'll be when the kids help their parents, and when grandma, grandpa are too old, they'll maybe put another little lean-to there on the side of the house, and grandma, grandpa will be able to do their part. Maybe she'll do dishes, and somebody else can buck bales of hay and mow the yard and things like that. So we won't need daycare centers, foster care, refugee programs. You know that foster care is one of the biggest scourges of this earth, to have children growing up in families that aren't theirs, knowing that they're not loved, and wishing that they could have the proper childhood, and knowing that it's never going to happen, and the anger and the resentment and the problems that come out of that, those are things of the past. They won't happen. On the way, driving down to Redmond here, coming down through Madras, there was a billboard that says, "Divorce on demand." Well, I demand that there be no divorce, so be best to have it that way. We could talk a little bit about government. Jesus Christ will be the one that takes care of that. He'll have people in place, kings and priests that are taking care of the people, all done in a godly way, not hurting or destroying. There's one category that I've skipped. It's under C for churches. In my little phone book, there are 39 headings under churches. That'll simplify. There'll be one. You know, the world tomorrow, the millennium, is going to be much simpler. And just like you can see kind of the dominoes, when one thing changes, it changes something else. When God's way is put into practice, this life is going to become much simpler. We're not going to have to run around like a bunch of crazy people trying to get our kids to daycare and off to school and off to work. And it's not going to be like that. People are going to be able to live and breathe and think and raise their family. And it's not going to be as confusing and as pressure and pressure cooker like it is now. Turn over to Isaiah 55. This has been an interesting adventure for me. I've discussed these topics with various people, and depending on your headset, you kind of have different strong feelings about some of the things. But I guess it's like advertising. As long as people get to talking about it, then your advertising was successful. Whether we have cell phones or hospitals or helicopters, I don't really care. Because that's not what's important. The important thing at this point is that we are qualifying, that we're learning and growing and getting ourselves ready to assist Jesus Christ in that world. And how he manages to do it and exactly what it looks like, that'll be up to him. But we know that the world will be very different. And I have only scratched the surface. The world will be different. The phone book will be different, if we have a phone book. And I hope that I've stirred your minds to think a little bit about it and talk a little bit about it. And the next time you go to your phone book or Google or wherever and look up a phone number and see the different headings and listings, I hope that you'll think about what won't be in the millennium. Isaiah 55 verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord." I don't know if we can ever wrap our minds around what God has planned and how he could possibly have a world that is the way that he says it's going to be. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is an awesome God. And he has so much in store for us that we really have a hard time wrapping our minds around it. So an exercise like this, and I would encourage you parents that have children that when the next phone book comes out, we got one in our house yesterday. A phone book was laying on the ground there. You know, they pass them out every year. So have your kids sit down at the table and take out everything that doesn't belong in there. It's an entertaining exercise, and they'll probably have some fun doing it. So again, I hope that this little adventure sparks some conversation, maybe a little speculation, some good clean prognostication. But brethren, let's continue to look forward to and make our way to and prepare for a world that does not hurt and nothing is destroyed.